Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today's a different type of episode today, and there's people driving down the street. How annoying. I'm your host, Anthony Brown, with my co-host.
Nick Brooks, a.k.a. I am very tired right now.
Yeah, I didn't think of a.k.a. I was going to say a.k.a. Whisker, but I just didn't. It's Friday. One of those days. Just one of those Fridays. Mm-hmm. And this is when we get to it. The second place winner of the JJAC journalist thingy. We got second place yesterday for one episode. I guess it was one of my first, second solo episodes. So thank you. Thank you. Pretty much today it's kind of a different episode. So this episode was supposed to be made last month, but like I said, scheduling and just timing and other things and life and COVID, and I can't blame this on any pop star. I was going to say I blame this on Doja Cat and Lizzo, but I feel like we have blamed so much stuff on them already. I can't blame them for anything right now. But all jokes aside, just that. But I'm happy we're able to make this episode. But let me get a little bit into the news. So pretty sure all you already know about the second strain of Miss Rona. She just keeps showing out. She just I don't know. Like we tried everything. We tried sending roses, bouquets, Ryan Gosling. We sent everything her way to just calm her down, and she just refuses to stop. She's on a rampage, and
they realized what we were doing to her twin brother, so she came in the mix.
Yeah, I just don't know what we can do. Like we already dealt with the first two. And now, like I said, it was in the water. Now it has a twin sisters. I don't know what else to do. We just, you know, at this point, I feel like we should all just be like those people on WALL-E and go into space. But don't be overweight to where you can't walk and you have the robots down here on Earth cleaning up stuff. But no, besides all that stuff, there was something else that was in the news that I was supposed to talk about, but it's probably not that important. It was probably something not really something silly like I used to try to throw in there. But anywho, today, ladies and gentlemen, we got guests, and you already know how I feel about guests. So, you know, if you're listening to this, please go put some pants on. You know, we don't do that. Like I told you, when we have guests, you don't, you know, you got to put pants on. That's weird. We don't want our guests feeling weird. So, before I let my guests talk, so I want to tell you a little bit about something about them, okay? Something that nobody knows about them. Things that, you know, it would shock you that you would know this about them. You know, they are, you know, my guests have done things. One of my guests used to be an assassin, believe it or not. He used to be an assassin. They've hurt people. They have, you know, one of my guests used to be a convict too. Used to run. No joke. So I saw Nick go like, "Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. This is you serious?" No. All jokes aside, my guests are very inspiring women. I find very inspiring. And I asked them to come on today because, like I said, this episode was supposed to be made a month ago. But I find them very inspiring and very just motivational. Just very like the things they do and the way they tell. Some of them has told. Well, Miss Jody, may I share one story? It was the one where you told us about like how you want to be in the army. Is it okay for me to share that? So Miss Jody, my professor, told us that she wanted to be in the army, but her father told her she couldn't do it. So instead of that, she kind of took what she had, and she made a career of it, of being a photographer. And she, well, no, that's pushing it.
I didn't start photography until many years after that. So, pushing it a little.
Okay, I was trying to.
That's okay.
I was trying to like put them all together, you know, but correction. She didn't start photography until many years later, but she didn't let, you know, one thing stop her. She kept going. She's kept going. Now, my other guest, now I'm not going to put her business all the way out there. Okay. But let's just say the young lady is a fighter. She keeps going and she does kickboxing. Did I get that correct, Madeline, or did I get that wrong? Or
No, you totally got that correct. I still do, well, not as much during COVID, but yeah, from time to time, I still do some kickboxing. Yep.
So she can kick your teeth in. Remember that. My other guest that was supposed to be here, she couldn't make it because of family issues. But I found her very inspiring because she was able to accept children. I mean, they were her family, but during certain circumstances, I'm trying to say it without saying it, she became a mother at a very young age. So, and I found that very just, you know, very inspirational. Because myself, if I was put in a position, it would take me 300 and 588 days to get used to someone saying uncle, daddy. It's just I wouldn't know. I'd be like, don't call me that. Don't call me daddy. Don't call me dad, father, none of that. Just call me Mazir. Don't ever call me. Don't. So I don't know if Lynn wants to say anything or she just here to just sit and listen, but that's fine too. But I'm done talking. I'm going to let my guests talk. So whoever wants to talk first, you know, you ladies play rock, paper, scissors for it, or, you know, you just want, like, you know, I'll go first or I go first, or it's up to you. So, you know. Nobody wants to go first. You don't want me to pick, because if I pick, I'm going to, you only pick, so I'll pick. So I want, I don't know if am I pointing at Lynn or Madeline? It's not showing. Okay, so Madeline,
every
go.
Every screen is different. Oh, great, just because I unmuted my mic. Yep, of course that would happen. Yeah, I guess I'll just get started kind of explaining my background a little bit. Even though you introduced me as a boxer, I don't consider myself to be anywhere near professional. Actually, kickboxing is just something that I do to, I guess you could say, decompress and handle the world a little bit better, but also keep myself in shape. And it's actually something I didn't pick up until, gosh, I think it's going on, it'll be 2 years this upcoming summer. But really, on the side, what I do in terms of a career is I'm kind of a jack of all trades when it comes to working in writing and communications. But the number one thing that I tell people that I am is I'm a science writer. I'm a technical writer. And I picked that up when I was in late undergrad at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. And I've been in love with it ever since. It's a subject that not a lot of people really wanted to touch in my field, because it's like, you think, if you're in like an arts field and you're looking into a STEM field, it's like, oh, math, science, I'm not good at this stuff. I'm not going to be good at understanding it. But as a journalist, it's our responsibility to help other people understand, but also become interested and just become a little bit more educated in areas that they don't necessarily know things about. So I got to do that, telling my first stories about some environmental research that was going on at the University of Missouri. One of my first biggest feature stories was actually on bats and white nose syndrome and how they're treating it and how that has rippling effects in terms of climate change and how it's currently affecting bats. So like, I don't know how we pollinate all of our foods. Like, you know, you think about honeybees and all that stuff. Well, bats have a really big importance on that too. And I guess it's kind of interesting to bring that up, and I'll try not to ramble about this too much. Because, you know, we might think of bats in a bad light right now because of COVID, because it's like, oh yeah, people ate bats. That's the reason why. Yeah, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but like, bats have such a vital importance to the environment. And, it was my responsibility in telling the story to let people know, hey, like, this is a treatment that we're working on to save bats from this fungus that was keeping them awake during the winter and killing millions of them. And essentially that would lead to longer term effects of like shortening our food supply. So not to get into the depressing bits of it, but like, yeah. Starting with that story, I fell in love with doing that. And I have been kind of telling stories like that, telling stories in our healthcare system ever since. Oh, and space, of course, too. Love writing about astronomy. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Okay, okay. Miss Judy, would you like to indulge us in your quest of how you became a photographer and a art professor?
Well, my path was long and rocky, shall we say. When I graduated high school, my father, because I'm of an age and this is an international women's podcast, right? Mm-hmm. My father said, no, you cannot join the service. And at that time, being a girl, I required his signature, even as an adult. So I decided to do other things. And so I began my career. I sold insurance. I sold insurance to trucking companies. My dad was a truck driver. Then I drove a truck because I can do anything my dad can do, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I sold Avon while I sold a truck, which is a really weird combination, isn't it? But you know, those waitresses in those truck stops, they buy a lot of Avon. And then I went to work for Avon Corporate. So my road has been a little rocky, and it has always had to do with being in a male-dominated industry until photography. I would shoot photography all around the country driving a truck, okay? And so when I came back to, well, when I bought my real estate agency, I owned a real estate agency, then photography became a focal point for me. And as a managing broker, I took all of our listing photos. So this gets me into photography, which brings me back to school and to you all over a few years. So that is my long and varied trek to become a professional photographer and an art professor. So that's my story.
Okay. Lynn, would you like to, or would you like to just like stay silent?
I didn't expect to talk, but I'd be happy to.
Go ahead.
What do you want to know?
So just tell us a little bit about you, like what's your favorite pie, favorite ice cream, whatever.
Well, I would have to go with Rocky Road and banana cream pie. I don't know. What do you want to know?
Well, I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, have you ever, been across the world? Have you ever, hit a deer or, just anything? Uh-huh. You have hit a deer. Don't tell us because, I don't want PETA jumping down on the school. You allow that young man to get on here and talk about homing animals. You know what? We have a problem with that. We're calling WWF.
Well, you're safe because I haven't hit a deer, so that's good. I mean, I don't know. I guess that for me, I just, I had kids when I was young. That's what I wanted. That's all I wanted. I had two children. And then my kids grew up, and when my daughter was 19, she had a baby, and we adopted him. And when he was 3 weeks old, he was diagnosed with meningitis, and we nearly lost him. But he's a fighter and he's 10 years old now. He's disabled. He has cerebral palsy and a lot of things, but he's a really happy guy. And then when he was 4, she had another, baby and we adopted her as well. So we kind of started over, and then I never went to college. And so here I am, with grandkids, and I'm like, I'm going to do something I want to do. I'm going to do something. I'm interested in graphic design. It's something I can do from home and still be there for my kids. And so that's where I'm at.
So let me ask this then, Lynn. So how do you feel about the art program? Like from the art class we had, minus my terrible, terrible attack on the art class. I do owe you an apology. I for those who know, who've listened to the story, I'll tell you in a minute. But tell me about your experience art class minus that one.
In basic design?
Yes.
You mean? I enjoyed it. I mean, to be honest, I was just happy to be out of the house. But basic design, both of the classes, that was my favorite class that I've taken. I just think that we had so much fun together, and it was, such a relaxed environment. The first Basic Design 1 was not as fun for me because it was all grayscale and I'm into color, but I really enjoyed the color theory and I learned a lot. What did you think about it?
So that was my second time taking basic design. The first time around, I kind of had a teacher that was kind of rough. I had a professor that was really kind of rough and she was kind of, how can I say, she did a lot of unnecessary things that like kind of made me go like, you're kind of making me uncomfortable. I need you to kind of like back off. I kind of need you to, you know, go sit down, take a breather, you know, drink you some coffee, you know, walk outside, breathe, you know, just calm down. Like I'm going to get it. And she was really strict. She was kind of, especially for like a beginner's class, she was kind of like really hard, but I kind of thank her for being that way because it kind of taught me like how the world is going to treat you if you're trying to be a professional artist. You know, you got to be all the time. And in the beginning, I was just like, you know, like, no, please stop, you know. But in the end, it all came back into full circle. I was like, this is what I needed. I kind of needed that first experience so I could understand if this is the road that I want to walk, you know. But with, I think his name's Pat. He was different. He was different. I will say this, he did try a little too hard to try to be relatable, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it was like, you know, that class was just kind of like, we're just here to do art, dude. We're not here to try to be your friend. We're just here to do art. So my experience was, you know, that, but, I usually have a good way to shift into the questions, but I'm just going to go ahead and just jump into it. So what does International Women's Day mean to you? And it kind of falls in that same umbrella question of when I usually get asked, what does Black History Month mean to you, Mr. Brown? And I'm just usually like, it's just another month. It's just another month, my dude. Like, I appreciate it. I mean, some other color folks, sometimes we like to overboard when Black History Month come around. We kind of get extra, like hot sauce extra, like spicy extra for no reason. But what does it mean to you all? Y'all want me to pick again?
For me, I've never been much of a, I guess, feminist. So, it's fine. It's not something I'm super into, but it's fine.
I mean, while I was doing research on this, because I actually did research for this last one. So apparently it was a celebration for women's rights. And I saw all these questions on this, believe it or not, I went on Reddit, which you should never go on Reddit. It's that place will make you depressed, angry, sad, flustered, and just everything around that you don't want to feel at one moment. So I saw a bunch of, well, I'm going to say young women, but they called themselves something else, and we can't say that here. They were very vocal about, like, some of them didn't care about Women's National. They were just like, I shouldn't have to have a day to make me feel good. And then another young lady got into it with her. She was like, well, it's the same vein of Black History Month, like, I shouldn't care. And then it was just like a whole argument going down. I'm just like, I have a headache and I'm going to go play video games and cry in a corner because you all just made me uncomfortable within 4-5 senses. But no, but I want to know, like, what does it mean to you? Do you mean, or is it like, you're just like, eh, it's another day. Why do we need a day? Can we get a month? Or, you know, why do we have to celebrate something that should just be something that's just be an automatic given?
I guess I'll go ahead and start off this conversation. Believe it or not, the last month I really haven't given the fact that it was International Women's Month, and then of course International Women's Day was part of last month. But since you asked me to come on and to the podcast and do this interview too, I have given it a little bit of thought in the sense that, like, it's not so much a month that, or at least to me, it doesn't feel as much as a month that is something that we're, like, outwardly celebrating, like it's the 4th of July or something, but more so in the light of, like, it's bringing awareness. It's bringing women to the forefront of conversations being had at the time too. Not to say that women can't be talked about any other time of year in the same that, like, Asian Americans or people of Asian descent can be talked about any time of year, or people who are Black, people who are mixed race, like, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that it is a good time that gives a lot of, not just people in general, but, like, government, corporate platforms, countries across the world to think about, like, okay, like, what are some of the, maybe even the challenges that women face? Something that I think about just in my own industry is that, and especially I saw this going through journalism school too, is that nearly 80% of the journalism and communications industry is made up of women, especially when it comes to coming up in the education system. Yet women only make up 20% of that actual working industry, at least in the United States. And if you think about that, that number is disproportionately less when it comes to women of color. So at least in terms of thinking about who's delivering the news to you, like, from what perspective they might carry or the lens they might carry, women still have this much of a voice in our industry. And that's not to say that we're being silenced, but, like, there's not a lens, there's not that true perspective in asking questions or answering questions that is being given to some of the larger platforms you might see, like New York Times, or even in broadcast news like CNN, MSNBC, Fox, like, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, there's a couple different ways I could just keep going on and on with this, but, like, I'm going to keep it in my own lens of the journalism industry for right now. So I guess for me, it's bringing that awareness to light, bringing women's challenges and women's issues to light. And, like, that's just one small lens. I mean, we could talk about how, at least for me, and it might be something that I even touch on later, because I have such an interest in climate change issues and, like, issues that are faced within the STEM community, how I could talk about how women are disproportionately affected by the economic factors as well as the physical health and mental health factors that are rippling effects of climate change as well. And that's not even just in second or third world countries across the ocean. I mean, that's here in the United States too. So in summary, International Women's Month is just bringing awareness of what has happened in our past and how we can keep changing in the future. So, yeah.
Okay. I like that. So, to give you, like, a little background, like, everything I was studying for International Day and Month, it actually plays a lot in class too with Miss Jody. We were learning about different women artists who really haven't really gotten that recognition, but kind of went under as unsung heroes almost. And I find it very interesting that, like, how many women artists there were versus the men. There weren't really a lot of women artists being talked about. And when I kind of went back, I was like, well, no, there's JoJo O'Keefe. And then I'm like, well, there's a reason why she's talked about. And I was like, oh, you know. So it plays a lot to know everything, the whole story versus just half of a whole story. Like, oh, the American flag was just made because America needed a flag, but a woman made that flag and, you know, it represented something. And just in layman terms, ladies and gentlemen, always research before you go with something that's not really factual. or Instagram will put this fact checker on your post. So, you ladies have anything you want to add, or?
I can tell you what International Women's Day means to me. Oh. And you know that I am not a feminist. And feminist in my vernacular means something completely different than probably the feminist in Madeline's or even Lynn's vernacular. I witnessed the burning of bras. Ooh. Oh, yeah. In the 70s, that was, I mean, we're not going to do it. Well, yeah, you are, because quite honestly, you need to. And so what I have seen, and the reason I'm so interested in bringing to the forefront the women artists of our past, we have come... none of you remember the Virginia Slims commercial, right? When we could have cigarette commercials. We've come a long way, baby. And the fact that we have an International Women's Day and an International Women's Month to bring to the forefront those people who were working for NASA, who created mathematical algorithms that were required to put us on the moon. She was a she. Those women who have come before us and stepped into roles in male-dominated industries and not back down, I'd like to know, to think that the women of our current generation, like Madeline and people out there beginning your careers and being solid, will have a much better opportunity with a lot less fanny pats because of those women who stepped into those roles. And that the recognition will be there because so much has been given. I mean, come on, guys. The plate you eat out of was originated by the female portion of the society, right? The fact that we have an agroeconomic basis of our own economic system, because we still do, was because women who were gathering plants decided to transplant those and see if they could make them grow. So while we're still in a patriarchal society, I think it's wonderful that we're at a point now, because you guys know that this International Women's Day was an edict by the United Nations in 1967. The United States did not begin to celebrate this until 20th century, right? I don't know the exact date, but much later than 1967. So current statistics right now in the United States, well, last year in the United States, if we use just a median income for women, women make 82 cents on the dollar compared to men. And that's over all racial and all ethnicities, okay? But if we now go to a job-to-job comparison, where we say the women in journalism, which are not enough, or the women in science, which are not enough, and there are other reasons for that other than just the hiring processes, you know, children is one of those reasons, and choices that are available to women that aren't generally available to men in today's societal norm, then we're at 97%, ladies, 97% in jobs that it used to be that we wouldn't even be allowed to apply for. So we've come a long way, ladies. We've come a lot, and we have a lot further to go in all of society. So that's my little say on International Women's Day.
So, Nick, you want to shoot the next question?
First off, hi, Jody. It's nice to see you again. All right. So the question I want to ask is, what is your inspiration or your motivation on what you're doing or what you want to do in life regarding your career? Any volunteer would like to go first?
Well, actually, I have my other guest, so I guess I'll use her first. Go back to it. So if I can't, excuse me, I'm also, I wear glasses. So if you see me squinting, don't think like I'm trying to like be funny and like, so my guest said her motivation is her niece and nephews. As someone who doesn't have kids of her own, they are the closest thing. I love them dearly. So that's her motivation, her nephews and nieces. So. And sorry about that. Back.
My goodness.
I guess I could go. I just had to think about it really for a second. What inspired me to really enter the journalism field in the first place was the, if I'm really looking back at it, and the, that I guess you could say the dilemma of deciding like, what the heck do I want to do with my life? Like after graduating high school, and like, I think I stressed about it a little too much back then, but the one thing that I knew that I loved to do and that I was really good at doing at the time was writing and storytelling. I do feel like I've been a natural born storyteller since I was a kid. And as you can you guys can kind of tell, I'm a little long winded in like every explanation that I give. So that naturally comes with the storytelling, I guess, background, you could say. But no, believe it or not, and you know, this is not me trying to flex or anything, but originally I was going to follow the same career path that both of my parents did. Both of my parents are in the medical field. And so I thought, well, maybe I should just go down this path because I know it's economically sound, and like, you know, I've watched them both go through it or go through their careers as a kid. So I was actually going to go to medical school. And then right as I began college, I decided this is not what I want to do. Which like from a financial standpoint, I'm looking and I'm going, yeah, I would make a lot more money as a doctor, but it wouldn't be as rewarding as the career path that I'm on now. And to answer the question and skip the long-windedness of the story too, it's really the professors, the high school teachers, the female journalists that I either worked directly or had as an editor when I was working for the Columbia, Missourian or Vox magazine based in mid-Missouri, or worked for Healthy Cells News in Peoria, Illinois. I've kind of been around for a bunch of different writing gigs too. And so there's too many women, too many people out there for me to name, but it's really the women who are working closely with me in everyday life, in my everyday career field, that have inspired me and continue to inspire me to keep going down this career path and being like, you know, we need more women who are telling the stories in STEM. I might not be working in STEM, but my ultimate goal is to help make people a little less, like, I guess you could say cringeworthy towards it, afraid to either go into the STEM field, like working as an engineer for one of our major power companies here in the United States, or working for NASA, working as even an accountant or something, like going into that field when these are originally male dominated industries and still continue to be so today. I want to continue inspiring people to do that. And I want to do that by helping, like, not educate people, but yes, educate people and make the different pieces of news in these areas interesting to them. So, yes.
Very well said. Very well said.
True.
Thanks.
Anybody else want to answer the question?
My original inspiration, I guess, you know, when my son was little, I had to stop working because, you know, I had to care for him full time. But after he went to school, you know, things got a little bit better. And a couple years ago, my niece graduated from Lewis and Clark from the nursing program. And I was like, just all of a sudden, I was like, I want that, you know, like I want that for myself. So you know, I needed, like I said, a career where that had a high potential that I could work from home at least part time, you know, for those times when I need to be at home. And graphic design and writing like Madeline has always been something that I'm interested in. And I was just, I guess it wasn't born so much from a need for, you know, like a monetary need, which it plays a part in it. But for me, it was more kind of like taking my life back and doing something for myself. And it's been a great experience.
Okay. I like that.
You want to answer the question, Jody, or do you think the other two women here have given good answers enough?
They've given great answers, and my hat's off to both of them. And my inspiration is very simple. I did not intend to get into education, but I've always been a person who explained things. My brother used to say I got on my soapbox as a kid. And so now I get on my soapbox. That's what I do for a living. And I herd cats because I shoot weddings. Okay. So my inspiration is looking at your faces and seeing that moment where something hits. In teaching photography, it's that moment where you get that shot and it's the one everybody goes, oh, that is so cool. And those your faces. So my inspiration is bringing you guys along, is giving you information that you can take in your life and use it, and that it will rise you above the rest. So that's my inspiration.
I think that's a good way of saying it.
And just kind of piggyback on what Jody was saying is about photography. It is an experience that I recommend if you are a college student. I recommend that you take photography if it's film or, digital. I recommend you take it. It's, I will say this, it gave me a lot more respect for photographers than I had in the beginning. Not saying like I was disrespecting them, but it was, at first I was like, no, I'm a painter. I use markers, photography is not real. It doesn't count until I did it myself. And I experienced like the pictures I captured were just like, wow, like this is just like a painting. It's just, it's real life. It's an actual thing that I didn't have to make up in my head. It was something that was natural. It was in the moment. I captured a moment that could never be quote unquote recreated, but we've learned throughout time that you can recreate a lot of things and make deep fakes and all types of just unnecessary things with art, but we're not going to get into that because this is not an art podcast. But I'm going to go to the next question, which I'm pretty sure it probably left all of you like scratching your head, like, what does he mean? So the question was, if I can get back to it, good Lord, everything is out of jumbles. Okay, don't pop up then. Okay, so if there was one thing you could do, what would it be? And basically what I was saying was, if there was something, like anything right now, no limits, no nothing, you had you had unlimited resources to do it, what would you do? It could be, you can be like, dig to the center of the earth, mine for gold, go to some far off island and shoot missiles at the sea, silly things like that, which I know half of you probably wouldn't do that. Don't shoot stuff into the sea. That's bad. The sea life already don't like us. We're already eating enough of them. They don't like it when you mess with them. But no, just anything, ladies, just anything. You could be like, well, I want to go and take photography of I can think of a celebrity real quick, but I was going to say Brad Pitt, but I don't think anyone wants to take pictures of Brad Pitt. Well, I don't know. Madeline kind of, you know. Okay.
I mean, Brad Pitt is a Mizzou alum. So if you ask any Mizzou alum, yeah, they might. But fun fact, he actually dropped out of the journalism school within like 2 years of there and to pursue acting. And look at where he is now.
Okay, well. We'll give Brad Pitt that. We'll give him that. We'll let him slide on that. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. So.
Well, I mean, anything. If you ladies just like anything that comes to mind, you're like, well, I will open up a shop. I would open up a school. I would do this. I would get $1 million and disappear off the face of the earth. Hmm. That's something I would do. So don't steal that.
I would travel. I would travel. I'd love to go to Hawaii and Alaska. I'd love to take pictures of the ocean and glaciers and just, I want to go places. I want to see things and experience things.
I know how you feel because this whole COVID has just been stopping lives.
Miserable.
But,
yeah.
But, actually, now that you brought up Hawaii, it actually reminded me that like during this time before hurricane season starts, it's like supposed to be like really like nice. And like there's this photographer I used to follow on Instagram. They go by they, them. They used to travel around the world and take certain photos. And they took a picture of, there's a volcano in Hawaii, I think. It's somewhere in Hawaii, and they took a picture of it when it had erupted or it was getting ready to erupt, and it looked really nice with like the flowers in the background, like the lava, and it looked real nice. That was me nerding out. That was me being a photographer nerd right there, but you know.
No, please nerd. Please nerd.
But
especially nerd where photography is concerned.
But yeah, like it was really nice. It looked good because the flower, well, there was like the little palm trees, but some of them were on fire. So like that part kind of like threw me off a little bit, but it looked really nice. And yeah, Hawaii and now Alaska. I don't know about Alaska. I'm not good with the cold. I don't know if you're talking about like the far off Alaska or you're talking about like within like the city limits or whatnot. But yeah, it's. Yeah, I'm not really a fan of cold, and even though we live in the Midwest where it's cold 24/7 and summer is like the shortest, it's a week. Summer is literally like a week. It doesn't feel like it, but it's literally like, it's like winter, 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 summer, winter, winter, winter. So.
I don't know. Have you been in St. Louis in August? Because I don't know, man.
Believe it or not.
Anthony, more like summer lasts from June all the way to like mid September. That's how summer here in Illinois is, dude. And winter, it will last until maybe mid March. And once it hits April, all of a sudden humidity comes in and it doesn't go away.
That is true. But no, to answer your question, Madeline, I actually used to live in Missouri. I'm actually a Missourian. I am originally from Missouri. But it's weird. So, believe it or not, the weather kind of like is different. It's like, well, this would be a good one for my viewers. So, if you ever play Pokemon and you travel from one town to another, and all of a sudden it starts snowing right after you left a town that was like sunny and bright and lovely, and there's flowers along the trail, and
oh, yeah.
Next thing you know,
oh, yeah.
There's a blizzard. That's how it's like one day. I forgot where we were at, and it started like raining, but it was shiny. And just to let you all know, my grandmother was when she was alive, she was an older lady. She was back from the segregation time. So every time it would rain and the sun be out, she'd be like, oh, the devil beating his wife again. I'd be like, to this day, like I heard someone say it and I was like, what does that mean? And it was just like, from being like from over there with things happening, and then over here, it's like the Twilight Zone. It's like over there, it snows heavy and bad. Over here, it's like it snows then turns to slushies. And I'm just like, okay, that's gonna chunk that up. You know, I think the weirdest thing I've seen since I've moved over here is seeing people go down into Wood River into the water in like the little creek. Like it's going over into Wood River Creek, and there's like the bridge, and then like there's like this area down legit in the creek, and like I've seen people like go down in there, and then I hear people, I'm like, oh, that looks fun. And then I hear people from over here like, yeah, no, yeah, that's chemical waste they're playing in. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no. I've seen people do the same on the, I can't think of what it's called. I think it's like the Madison County Transit Trail, I think is what it's been recalled. And somewhere between, I think it's Edwardsville and like Edwardsville and the Wood River area on that trail, there is like a really big like creek that I feel like it's got a lot of deep water, but yeah, there's like a little sandy bottom there, and kids will go down there and try to swim or with their swimsuits and at least go up to their waist. And I've heard people say it's like, yeah, the majority of that's either chemical waste or sewage. And I'm like, that's just nasty. No.
I you will not catch me out there, especially after my last incident in Wood River. I had a guy and his son walk up on me with a power tool. I think I told them before on the podcast, but you all are new to hearing this. Yeah, I was taking photos. It was like around my last class for Jeff. And I went to Wood River because I was like, you know, I'm going to take around taking natural things. So there was these power conductors, these power conduits. And there was like a sign that was saying like a water plant pointing. So like I tried to capture like where the sign was more in the front and like the power conductors just kind of like were there. And I'm listening to Michael Jackson. So I'm listening to Billie Jean. All I hear is, hey. So I'm like, wait a minute, that's not MJ. Wait a minute. That's another man yelling at me. It's not MJ. So I turn around, this guy walking towards me, him and his kids like fiddling with the power drill, like fiddling, walking towards him. I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't look good. Hey, you know, what's going on here? What's happening? So he was like, hey, are you taking a picture of my house? I'm like, no, I'm taking a picture of the conduits. He's like, the what? I'm like, the conduits. I'm taking a picture of the sign in the conduits. He's like, oh, why are you doing that for? I'm like, it's for a school sign. I literally just had like a Lewis and Clark shirt. I'm like, it's for my school. And he's like, oh, okay. So then he walks off. So then he stops saying, hey, do you take pictures of families? I'm like, no, I'm not that type of photographer. You won't have me in the house screaming in the basement and the whole talk about some, it puts the lotion on skin or it gets the holes again. You won't have me doing that. No, sir. But, that was my experience of being a photographer. So if you guys ever feel like you want to be a photographer, don't be one that has to catch the bus everywhere or walk everywhere, because you will legit get harassed and handled. My friend gave me a great advice, though. She said, if I wear clothing with paint on it, people will go like, oh, that's an artist. They're harmless. They can't do anything to you. They're like squirrels. They'll run from you before they attack you. And I'm just like, yeah, I wish that was true about me. I wish that was, but it's not. It's not. It's not.
Oh, man.
Just so you know, the clothes with paint on it, with a camera, really does work. People just give you this look and walk on by.
See, I'm willing to think about trying it, but.
They don't realize how artsy that can actually be. Anything, when you put your right mind to it, and if you know what you're doing, it can be considered artsy when it comes down to paintings or photographs.
True, but I legit had like a Lewis and Clark shirt on, and I'm like, you know, I I don't think I was like threatening or like I was taking a picture of the guy's garage. I literally stepped away from the garage and the houses that were like, they were like on the side of me and behind me. So like, but yeah, that was my experience. So, if, you know, anyone that's listening, I heard this thing about taking photography, make sure that you go in a group, bring water and snacks. Don't bring water and snacks.
Don't go in a group.
Oh, don't go. Okay. Well then don't go in a group. Cause I guess that, you know what, actually don't do that. I just thought about it. That would look pretty bad. That would, you know, they, you know, some guy's probably riding his mole arm goes, what the, you know, and next thing you know, you're being chased down with power tools and sticks and Wood River.
But, oh, man. All right,
we got off the question. Sorry. But I don't know if you guys remember the question now, but if there's anything you want to do or want to do right now, you know, what would it be?
Since I've got my mic off, I'm going to try to answer this too. Lynn said, I mean, traveling for me personally would be fantastic. Actually, one of the lifelong goals that I have, and I'm hoping to do this not necessarily as a vacation, as like a luxury, or like not, I'm trying to think of the word, I guess just as like a leisure, as like a vacation thing, but hopefully getting to do this from a research or storytelling perspective is I want to be able to go on a research charter down to Antarctica while there's still like at least a decent amount of glaciers and ice that are still attached to the actual continent. Because every single day, I mean, there are, or not every single day, but like it's becoming more and more frequent that like glaciers the size of, or icebergs the size of like Maine or like some of the states that are up in the Northeast are breaking off. And like, you know, while that might not have any like immediate effects other than like maybe just a few little waves breaking off of the continent, I mean, over time that ice is just going to melt, sea levels are going to rise, and that's going to cause like billions of people to be forced away from their homes. I mean, really, and you know, that's, I kind of have like a, this is almost like a part of like a smaller portion of like what I want to do. In addition to that, and the reason why I would want to do that is maybe being able to tell some sort of, or have some sort of meeting or sets of conferences with world leaders and being able to unite them and get them all on the same page of like, we need to do something now about various portions of climate change, pollution being one of the biggest ones, air pollution. I'm trying to think of what it's specifically called, but just the CO2 levels in our atmosphere and how that's contributing to ice melt at the poles and sea level rise, rising levels of plastics in our water and how that's affecting things. And maybe you saw this story because a lot of people think it's kind of they took it as like a funny, funny but like serious story in news not even a month ago, but that plastics in our water levels are leading to shrinkage of male parts, and lower fertility levels. Well, I mean, if we're talking in terms of like global population and how, and of course global population is rising, but like in terms of healthy births, chronic illnesses, like disease in general, like, you know, these are all things that are essentially tied down at the micro level to climate change. So if there's some way that we can get everybody on the same page, everybody aware, not having it be a political issue, because no matter what, at the end of the day, like, if it, you know, and of course this is weather, I won't get into this topic too much right now, but it's like, if a tornado is coming through a town, it's not going to pick and choose sides of like, oh, this person doesn't believe in climate change, we're not going to affect them, but this person does, so we are. No, tornado comes through the town, it's going to affect everybody, it's going to hurt everybody. So we got to get everybody on the same page of what can we do to protect ourselves going forward in the future. So that's what I want.
So
let me answer the question, Anthony. If I had no parameters, I would put my gear in a backpack And I would hike every continent. I want to hike India. I want to hike South America. Mm. I want to hike the United States in all of the cool spaces. Yeah, that's what I would do if I could do anything at all. So.
Love that.
There you go.
No, well, I was going to say, I was going to actually ask you, did you want to say anything? But no, I like that idea. But I will say, though, that's what reminded me. In the news today, not in the news, a couple weeks ago, they were saying that if you're hiking, you might want to wear more longer clothes because apparently there's more ticks now. And I guess the ticks are.
Yeah.
I guess are they have. Excuse me, because I don't remember correctly. I remember they said something about COVID and the ticks. So I don't know if the ticks have COVID now and they can get, I don't know. But if you go hiking, that's what, because I'm glad you, and I'm so glad that you said that, Joey, because you just kind of like made me remind me of that. But yeah, if you're going hiking now, that there are ticks and something with COVID. So that's all I pretty much remember. I remember they saying something about hiking, the ticks and COVID. Because like, as soon as I was like, they were talking, like, the TV started ecstatic, and I was like, oh, well, I guess it wasn't that important. So, you know, but it was important. Remind me. But no, I like that idea, Miss Jody. I'd never been hiking before. And the closest I've been to hiking is, I want to say, it's a park in Missouri. But it's not really a park. It's more of a, like a, I guess I'd call it a park, but it's like kind of far out of Missouri. It's like almost going towards the south side, if you know. Well, no, you all probably haven't really been like that over there in Missouri, but it's near the south
side. Is it Lone Wolf?
I think so. Because is there like a, not a school, but like it's like a.
I know Lone Wolf is, it's not quite down 44, but it's like, so we just moved over to Missouri not even 6 months ago. So we're kind of close-ish to everything. Not quite south. Like we're in between like West County and South. Yeah, no, I know that like it's really close to like a lot of Fenton or not Fenton. I don't know what it is. I think Baldwin School District. So I just know it's really popular. So maybe. Taking a guess. There's a lot of parks down there, though.
Yeah, I the one I'm thinking, well, that sounds kind of like close near it, but I might be, I have to look it up, because I haven't been to this park since I was 8 years old, and that's 2005, so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my brain is just like, go back. Okay, don't go back. Stop. But, before I end, I want to say, we all have to wish Madeline a happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Thank you.
Thanks. I turn, gosh, it'll be my golden birthday this year, 26 on the 26th. So
26.
Yeah, I'm getting old. I'm getting to be an old fart.
Don't say that. I'm 25. Don't say that. I already thinking about myself. Don't say that. Just.
Hey, it all goes downhill once you hit 21, man. I'm telling you.
I mean, it doesn't even start till you hit 50.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I'll try to tell that to the few gray hairs that I've noticed lately, and I'm like, oh God, it's starting. No, just kidding. I'm being a little too dramatic at this point. But yeah, thank you.
No problem. But I just wanted to say that because I remember it just dawned on me. I was like, hey, you know, blase, you should remember this. And I was like, okay, I got you. But I remember, happy birthday. We wish you a lovely, happy, I can't think of any words. I usually have like some big extravagant words I can use, but right now my brain's just like, no.
You're test. Totally fine. Biology. No worries.
Stress.
Yep.
So. So do our guests have anything they want to say before they have anything they want to say to the future people? And be like, well, hey, don't hoard toilet paper. Don't make our mistakes. Don't fight over Popeye's chicken sandwiches. Don't, I apologize. I meant to also apologize for me smirking earlier when Madeline said about shrinkage, because real quick, there was a story that we
noticed.
It was a story that I was reading on Instagram about how this feminist group, they were saying that if maybe male testosterone was lower, maybe another thing would not happen. And there was this comment under there that I'm not going to repeat here, but it was along the lines of, well, then who's going to make those videos that you guys watch at 3 a.m? And I was just like, what? Wait a minute. What? You can't. No, that's bad. Stop. But yeah, that's why I laughed. You just remind me of that. And that's why I had to catch it. So I didn't want my guest thinking like I was laughing at like a serious topic. It just, you said that and it just like clicked but.
No, for sure. And like, it's a story that I watch a lot of late night comedy. So obviously it's something that the late night comedians took with and they rolled with it as much as they possibly could have. But of course, like, you know, and like, I get it. Like I laugh at that stuff too, but like, looking at it from the serious side going like, you know, it doesn't seem like something that would necessarily go back and affect women at the end of the day, but like just tying that into like things that I'm passionate about. So climate change and then like trying to tie in this topic too that we're trying to stay on of like International Women's Month and International Women's Day. And like, I was just trying to think of like, how could I tie this all in? And that's actually something that in previous stories and previous research that came up, and I'm like, well, believe it or not, you know, things that happen to men sometimes, well, not sometimes, but can come back to affect women. It's in the biological sense. Like there's other topics too, but that was just something that just came up. So anyway.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming here. I'm sorry that we went to 11 o'clock. I apologize for that. I should have kept more track of the time, but I do want to thank my guests for coming here, and please continue being inspiring. Please continue being you. You are cared about. You are enough. And I think you all are winners. I hope that you all achieve your end goals because you got somebody that believes in you. Have, you know, the people that you interact with believes in you. But now turning my attention to my audience. Now we're having a one-on-one moment, audience. So come in. So I want to thank you for showing up today. This wouldn't be possible without you listening. And I want to thank you all who voted me for second best podcast with the episode of it was the When We Get To It, Hey Again. So I want to thank you all for that. And shout out to all the other JJCA winners. You guys rock. You did your thing. And I've been your host, Anthony Brown. You're muted, Nick. You're muted.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And I've been your co-host. I keep forgetting that I'm muted.
And this is when we get to it. Stay beautiful. Stay happy. Drink lots of water, and we'll see you again. Shabao. I don't know what that is. Shabao.